And the first one, before we turn to the preaching text, is in 1 John 3. If you look there, 1 John 3, 16 to 23. 1 John 3, 16 to 23. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So, and then we'll turn back to the preaching text in Psalm 119, towards the end of the long psalm, in verse 145. Psalm 119. As we get back into this series, and we're getting close to the end, but a few more sections. Psalm 119, starting in 145, going to 152, that section. Quaff. You see that, verse 145. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Thanks be to God for his holy and powerful word unto us, his people. As we'll remain seated, good afternoon. Good to have you with us as we start off this new year in 2026. And as believers in Christ, it's a good time, we often know, to refocus on key doctrines for one thing and key disciplines of the faith. And I think in a way this is what we see to some level in this section we're looking at today in Psalm 119 as we look at the last few sections this month. We have three more sermons, I believe, after this one to finish on the three sections after this section before we get into Ezra. Now, this section, quoth there, that letter in the Hebrew, it's located, if you recall, in the second half of the book. Now, we know it's been a little while since we've looked at this, but to the second half of Psalm 119, two main halves. And this second half is focused on the eternal nature of God's Word, as it can be trusted. And that wisdom that's in God's Word we're seeing in this Psalm 119 is to be sought. Remember, David has been telling us, I believe the author of this Psalm, about how God's wisdom upholds the believer, giving us all that we need in the trials of life. And that all points us in the Word to the faithfulness of God, the God we rely upon, the God we live in wisdom with. So Psalm 119, just to remind you, is what we call a Hebrew acrostic. It's the longest one, this psalm, and all of the acrostics in the Bible, using the Hebrew alphabet to guide us. It was a teaching method they used then. And it's so every section in this psalm is broken into eight verses long. All the sections, eight verses, you'll notice that, using the Hebrew alphabet to guide us and to, as a memory tool, really is what it was for the Jews, to communicate a particular angle in this psalm about God's Word, about the beauty of God's Word, about the value of God's Word, what the Lord wants us to see, what David had learned and David wanted us to see. And I believe David, I believe as the author, is focusing us today on the power of God's Word, of course, but in conjunction especially with the promises the Word of God gives us in God's covenant with his true people. Yet David, I believe in this, we'll see, is showing us the balance in the combinations we're going to see. The combination, for one, we see of the need of knowing God's Word, yes, the foundation, but then deeply and earnestly, diligently seeking God based on His truth and promises in prayer. That balance, that combination. David has shown us already this in the whole psalm, hasn't he? I mean, we do see repetition in this psalm as the whole psalm centers on God's Word. And this is certainly all about worship, this psalm, isn't it? Not just worship on Sundays, but worship as a lifestyle. And it involves prayer, of course. But it seems David, really in this section, as the thing is coming to a close, Psalm 119, really seems to want to bring things together, tie things together, and emphasize this focus in this particular stanza. It's like at the end of Psalm 119, to me, David's tying things together, closing the psalm, about the lessons he learned about God's Word, tying it together about the power of the Word of God and how valuable it is, all we've been learning about it, as we said, that we learn the Word, grow to love the Word, and then in that, grow to live out the Word as God empowers us to do it. But in that, David's saying, don't forget to pray. And how to pray. And to pray based on the promises of God. Warren Wiersbe calls this section of the psalm a primer on prayer. Christopher Ashe, in his book on the psalm, Psalm 119, titles this section, Prayer and the Promises. Because we see when you have a man or a woman of God, a believer, who knows God's Word deeply more and more, and therefore loves God, they are going to be more and more, of course, a people of passionate prayer. Praying based on God's promises. But we also see that they will be a people, true believers, growing in the Word, not only whose prayers are filled with Scripture, yes, but we're going to see in this psalm with David, this section, that they have set times to pray. They're disciplined in their prayer life. There's a pattern in their prayer life. We see this with Daniel. Think about Daniel in the Old Testament, right? How no matter what was said about Daniel's faith, because he had set times to pray when he was attacked, when they said don't worship God, because Daniel had prayed in those patterns and earnestly sought God based on the Word of God, he did not stop praying the three times a day, if you look at the story, when the enemies attacked. Daniel went right on praying in those patterns of prayer three times a day. So when we grow in God's Word, knowing God's heart, that's what this psalm is about. Knowing the character of God, the faithfulness of God, the grace and steadfast love of God. We'll pray more with focus, more with a pattern and perseverance. And yet we remember this is all fueled by a deep passion in prayer based on God's promises. So patterns of our prayer life, which we need to have, disciplines. We think about starting that in the new year, right? Or continuing it and think, kind of refocusing, right? Patterns and discipline in reading the Bible, prayer, all of that. As we think about this new year and how we're going to grow in that area and keep those commitments, understand that those patterns we need, the disciplines we need, and they're not opposed to having a passion for prayer, a heartfelt love for God. And patterns and discipline are not opposed to that. No, those two areas really, in a way, we'll see go hand in hand. As this section shows us, David, too, in this was dealing with enemies, with people who cared nothing for the Word of God. And we've seen that all through this psalm, haven't we? Psalm 119. David was not praying from an ivory tower. We remember that, right? Separated from the world. No evil men, he can hear their footsteps in this section, right? They're coming at him. They care nothing about God, nothing about the truths that David loves so much. But still, prayer is flowing out of David's walk with God in the Word of God and his worship of the Lord and his lifestyle for the Lord. Prayer flowed out of David's life that was passionate as he pours out his heart to God, as he seeks God with all of his heart, and yet there's a pattern in David's prayer life in there. He's up in the morning awake. He's awake in the night thinking about the Word of God, anticipating the dawn to pray. There's a pattern there that we see in David's life, a discipline there. David's up at night. He's up in the morning. David was preparing through the nights, I believe, anticipating the dawn, using the times, even when he had a sleepless night, that he would seek God even more because of the promises of God, because they fueled him, because he held to God's holy word and he knew the Lord. So David was waking up in the morning because he knew God's love and he trusted God's justice and that the Lord loved him, the Lord would take care of him, and he prayed and he sought God. See, praying this way anytime, but you think about the new year, right? It's not going to always be pretty. It's going to be messy at times. It might mean there's nights with less sleep, with enemies that we didn't expect, problems we can't foresee right now. Our own struggles with sin might be the enemies that we have to deal with. Our own battles with even people that we're close with. But it's the Lord's covenant love that we grow to know and love and value that David has been teaching about all in this psalm that's in God's word. David's saying that upholds us. It's his steadfast love that I found in his word that fills us and fuels us and guides us as the great God that God is as we face the future. So Achan said this stanza reminds us when our enemies draw near, we can rest assured our Lord is even nearer. He's even closer. He knows where we are, what we're going through. Spurgeon said about this psalm, he, David, who had been with God in the closet with God, would find God with him in the furnace. Can we say that? That he's with us in the closet, that's our passion, our pattern. He'll be with us in the furnace, in the trials. Borgman, this guy, said the discipline of prayer and urgent, fervent prayer are related, and they are. God has gone before us this new year, folks. He is behind us. He's with us. As David says here, though my enemies are drawing nearer, like I can hear their footsteps, he says, I know you, Lord, are even closer. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me, as the Bible says. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. We read it earlier. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. 1 John 5 reminds us, John said about Jesus and the Spirit of God, he who is in us, Christ, by the power of the Spirit, he is greater than him who's in the world. Yet, what we'll see in this section, the balance is seen not only in prayer at night and in the morning, not only in the balance of the pattern and passion that we have in prayer, that combination, but also in the balance we're going to see of seeking God in prayer with a desire to obey God. Someone said, David in his distress, he cries out three times for help. Do you notice that there? But at the same time, God is near him. Yes, he asked God to save him. What's David doing in those three times? He's committing to follow God. He wants to obey God. So we're going to see that. James Boyce outlines this section. I kind of think the way his outline is that we're to pray earnestly. We're to pray always without ceasing. We're to pray biblically. And we're to pray with faith. Hopefully we'll see what that looks like as we go through. I have a different outline, but the point is David prays because he knows he can rely on God in his word here, his laws, God's nearness, God's constancy. The power of prayer is in a passionate pattern praying based on the promises of God that focus on God's purpose, knowing God's presence, and remembering God's permanence. His eternal nature, who he is, and his word that never changes. So what do we learn here about David's primer on prayer? And you'll see there on your outline, the bottom one in the prayer insert, if you've got that. We might have been a bit low on that from this morning. But based on this, Psalm 119, what do we learn here about prayer, about the power of prayer? And as we begin this new year especially, and we look at this section in 145 to 152, praying based on God's promises. Well, number one, if you see there, is reach out. Look at verse 145, the first verse. Reach out or reach up. This is the passion of prayer. The seeking God in passion, earnestly, with all our hearts, pouring out our hearts. This is where David starts. The idea of our heart before God in prayer. The first principle we learn about promised prayer based on the Word is in 145 there of the section. Remember, David is surrounded by enemies here. We've seen that happening all through this psalm. They're trying to bring him down, trying to bring his demise through rumors and gossip and shame. And he maybe feels the enemy of his own sin and guilt in the past, but he's dealing with all these enemies. But David has learned, hasn't he, over time, that God, who alone is with him, will uphold him. But he's learned that the Lord is faithful as he's prayed. How has David really learned this? He's learned it through learning the Word of God, as we've said before, and applying God's Word through experience. David knows God's presence is with him as he's meditating on the promises of God. And these promises of God's presence are experienced more and more deeply. See the connection here with the promises of God in prayer as David seeks God, as he prays. So I believe David is sharing what he learned here in this section about prayer, even just a little primer on prayer, about how his heart is in it, and then we're going to see his habits that flowed from that. And we're going to see later about the help God gave him as he cried out, but then that was anchoring him more and more deeply in the hope that God laid out for him in the future. So someone said to do it with all his heart, to seek God with all our heart is to do it with everything we are. Body and soul, mind and heart, tears, sighs, hands, feet, our everything, to live for the Lord, to seek him. Achan says, as he discusses his prayer pattern, David is highlighting key characteristics of his prayer life. And I believe that's true here, that are essential for us as Christians. So how important is it through all the year, but it's a good time now, really, isn't it, at the start of the new year, to refocus on this? See, David is talking about here, number one point, praying earnestly. Praying wholeheartedly, praying, yes, later, without ceasing, praying according to God's truth, we'll see, and out of growing faith and love and hope. But all of these key parts to passionate pattern praying, David's going to show us, but this is where David starts, crying out to God with his whole heart, that God would deliver him, pouring out his heart, seeking God. See, the first principle of prayer we see here involves reaching to God. Reaching up and out to God. He says, verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. It reminds us, doesn't it, if I think about this, of other psalms, like Psalm 89, for example. I believe it is where the psalmist asked God to bend his head down, his ear down, to hear David, to hear the psalmist. That the psalmist in Psalm 89 is praying, God, hear me, pay attention to me. It's not that God doesn't know everything. He does. But David is saying, I have and I will come to God. I've learned this with all my heart. I'm going to pour my soul before you, God. Come earnestly to you, God, in prayer. With passion before God. Jeremiah 29, the Lord said through Jeremiah, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So think about even the parables that Jesus told about prayer, just a few of those. Jesus was getting at the fact in those parables, you might remember them, that God knows what we need before we ask. Yes, God desires to give us good gifts. He often, though, why does he want us to persevere in prayer? He wants to see where we are with this, with prayer. Where are we when it comes to God's will? He wants to see if we're growing to seek that which God loves. His Word, His truth. God wants us to love Him, to seek Him with our hearts. By the grace that is in Jesus, through the Spirit working in us, and included in that loving God, of course, is praying. Pouring out our hearts, seeking God earnestly. And this is what the Lord seeks. Yes, there will be patterns that are a part of our prayer life and flow from this. Yes, a good pattern for prayer can be a good marker that we have discipline in our life and that enables our passion for prayer to grow and us to be disciplined and focused. But remember, what the Lord wants the most is our hearts. Hearts that are humble. Hearts that flow out of our humble and that out of our love for the Lord, knowing God's character, we are seeking Him Yes, we do it on Sundays. Yes, we do it at prayer meetings. But in our whole hearts. Not just at quiet times, yes, but our whole days. It doesn't mean that's all we ever think about, but that's our mindset. It's not that we just have times to do it. Yes, it's important to do that. We're going to see that in context. But it's seeking Him. It's that we have that heart's desire to seek Him. And that we're seeking Him, not just that we're seeking Him, but that we're seeking Him based on who He is. What we're learning in the promises of the Word of God, about the character of God. It's what we're seeking when we seek the Lord that deeply matters to God. And that's what we see here. Someone said believers must seek God with our whole heart. And then we grow to obey Him out of that. So why does David cry out with his whole heart? Well, yes, you could say, well, he's hurting. He is. He needs help. Yes. But notice what he says. Most of all, he wants to live in God's will faithfully. Hear me, O Lord, he says, I will keep your statutes. He reaches out to God earnestly because he wants to know deeply in his heart God's statutes. That's another word for God's truth, for God's law. Because he knows, he's grown to know God and he knows God is faithful. Because he's grown to know this, and this is what pleases the Lord. To love God, to know His character and seek Him based on that. And because David believes living God's way is ultimately best. Do we believe that? Also think, why does David pray for this? He's praying this way because there's been a love for the Lord and His Word. It's fueling David. He knows God. And God's faithful character in the Word of God. He studies it. He meditates on it day and night. It has become his pattern because he's passionate for the Word. And he prays in this pattern. And he is passionate because he has developed a pattern of meditating on the Word of God. Now when he says, I will keep it here, really what he means in Hebrew is, that I may keep it. God, I need you to help me to keep your statutes. David was not bargaining with God here, understand, but dedicating himself more fully to God to live in faith and obedience no matter how God might answer his prayers. So, as one man said, before we pray as we ought, we have to pray at times that God will give us hearts ignited by his Spirit. Warren Wiersbe talks about the incense. I thought it was interesting. The picture of incense in worship in the Old Testament burned on the altar that pictured the devotion of the people of God's hearts before the Lord when they came in prayer. This seems to be the idea, as Wiersbe says this, and I can see this. This is what David is showing us. A heart ignited by the Word of God in verse 145 to love God, to want to seek Him, which motivates us in prayer. James says, what does he say about prayer in James 4? James says, you have not because you ask not. And because you pray often, he said, they were praying with wrong motives. This can be some of the problem in our prayer lives. Why are we praying? This might be sometimes why we don't stick with praying. We make our resolutions. And we fall off the wagon. We all can struggle with it. But it can be, are we praying earnestly? Are we praying based on the Word of God? Are we praying? David prayed earnestly to God, openly, honestly, seeking Him with all of his heart, that he could know God's heart more, confessing his sin, wanting to be changed by the Lord, to follow God's statutes. Boyce said again, prayer should be deeply earnest. And David's prayers were, and that drove him to the Word. Let me ask myself and you, is our prayer life, is it driving us like a screw into wood, deeper and deeper into the Word of God to know God and His truth? Jesus talked about this, that you abide in my Word and I abide in you. You'll ask whatever you want and God will give it to you. He'll answer. Prayer is not, that's not a blank check to pray whatever you want. That is, prayer is not magical. No, we'll just pretend like we're, talking in the air either. No, prayer is real. Prayer is powerful, but it's united with God's promises. For the Christian, it is a real passionate desire, an earnest desire, passion for prayer and passion for the Word of God are connected together, inseparable. James 5, you know, James talks there about prayer. James talks quite a bit about prayer as well. He says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He talks there about the example of Elijah. Remember when he prayed earnestly? And when James says that, he's encouraging us, just as we see here with David, to be earnest in our prayers. Not those who presume sometimes in prayer. We get an idea and then we want to baptize it with prayer. Rather than are we seeking God to do His will, to know His heart. Are we seeking His will, praying based on His promises? That leads me to number two, and that's remain. This is perseverance in verse 146 and humility, the second principle. Second principle we learn about promise-based prayer in this section on the Word, based on the Word, is in 146, that we remain, persevering, keeping on praying. So we're going to see in a moment here that there is a pattern, as I mentioned, to prayer that shows up practically. David gives us a picture of that as he prepared in prayer at night and awoke in the morning to seek the Lord. We'll see that in a minute. But first, David is showing us, number one, point one, the heart and passion of prayer. And here David is showing us the humility that flows out of that. The perseverance in prayer, in the right mindset in prayer as we remain and pray. Just in that one verse, I think we can see. What we see, if you look there, first, is that verse 146 is restating and reinforcing verse 145. That's why this point is perseverance. Remaining. Did you notice David has already cried out just right before this with his whole heart, Lord, hear me. David again cries out, God, save me, here in 146. And again he says, I'll keep your what law? This time he says, testimonies. What gives, we'd say? Is he just forgetting what he said? What's David doing? No, David is persevering based on the Word of God and the truth of who God is. In prayer, he's remaining in the Word and who he knows God to be, and he's seeking God based on the Word in order to follow the Lord, to be obedient, to know God's will. Van Gemeren says, trust and obedience, prayer and obedience are together. They are a God-honoring combination, he says, for receiving answers to our prayer. Are we trusting the Lord to want to obey, but then we're seeking God in prayer to obey? You notice the combinations here, don't you? The balance here in this section of the balance of passion in prayer, patterns in prayer, the Word and prayer, of course, the main one. And here, trusting God to obey, but also seeking God in prayer to do this. And if you're a Christian long enough, you know so much, don't you, that we must do this every day, right? All through the day. We must seek God to do it. As one man said, though, this is not, well, I've been a good boy now, God, and you owe me. Kind of that. We wouldn't say it that way, but right. You know, this is not, hey, I've been a good boy, God, please listen to me. I've been a good girl, I've done this. No, this man says, I am a believer, and the longing of my heart is to keep your word and to walk in your ways. But I can only do that if you answer me, Lord. This is not, of course, vain repetition that Jesus warned about. You know, persevering in prayer is not just running off religious mantras and going on, thinking somehow that we'll control God, that we'll get God to do what we want. That's not Christian prayer, is it? But that's why heartfelt praying, point number one, is so essential. Because only when we are humbly yet confidently seeking the Lord to act, we do that based on hearts of love for Him and a desire to know Him and walk with Him. It's like this little boy in the story I maybe have told before. He wanted a baby brother so bad, you know, and he asked his dad and his mom wanted a brother, and he prayed for months. They said, pray to God for you to get a brother. One day his parents had to leave. They were going to the hospital. He stayed with his grandparents, and then a few days later they returned. The dad said, well, do you believe God answered your prayer for a little brother? He said, well, yeah, I hope so. I believe that. He said, well, yes, he did. And then they brought out twins. Well, the dad said, aren't you glad you prayed? He said, yeah, Dad, I am. But he looked at his dad, the little boy, and he said, "But yeah, Dad, but aren't you glad I quit when I did? Now, that's not the way prayer works, I know. But over and over, Jesus calls us to persevere in prayer. Parables like the friend in need, Luke 11, the persistent widow and the unjust judge, Luke 18. Why? Not because God doesn't want to bless us. Jesus is clear, God only has good gifts for His children. But no, God wants to teach us to trust Him, to learn to abide in His Word, His commandments, so that we grow to ask based on His Word and then see God at work. Again, prayer is not a magical formula or a blank check or some program we do. It is a relationship prayer with a passionate, faithful God who gives us promises. He wants us to know Him and know His will and pray and seek His will to walk in it. Like learning to color in the lines when you learn to color. Learning to walk in the will of God and pray. Learning to ask or knock and ask and seek God answer. Number three thing here, let's refocus. Look at where David goes with this, the pattern. We actually see the patterns now. Verse, the commitment, the confidence in 147 to 149, the help, and then the hope. We'll talk about that, but we see the refocus, this application. The third principle about promise-based prayer in the Word is in 147 to 149, that we refocus regularly through the patterns of prayer that God develops in us. David has shown us the heart of prayer and the growing humility as we persevere. But notice what David does here. He shows us the help that comes as he cries out to God for help. But then in that, he's resting in the hope that God gives in His Word, that he recalls regularly as he prays. So David has pictured the passion of his prayer life, continuing to persevere in prayer, but here he's showing us the practical patterns of prayer that are developing, that are clear in his life. He gives us a picture of that with the morning and the evening. You see what he says? David says, I rise before the dawn and cry out to God for help early in the morning. And then he says, I'm awake at, I believe, certainly at times, hopefully not every night, but at times during the night, praying, preparing for what's ahead. So David's praying early in the morning. He's awake praying in the evening, at night, in the middle of the night. First thing and last thing, the patterns of his life, the bookends, the routines, the discipline are not, again, anti-passion and desire for the Lord. Aiken said, here's another powerful combination, early prayers and meditations on the Word together as we await in hope on God in His Word and we pray morning and night. So David has told us pray wholeheartedly, right, and earnestly, to pray without ceasing. Well, here he really says pray without ceasing. You know what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray continually. Pray at all times. Boyce said, David seems to have learned this lesson since the next pair of verses speak of a daily pattern of praying. And when he says, when he told them to pray continually, of course he didn't mean just do nothing but pray. Hopefully we realize that it's an attitude, it's a mindset. It's not something just for when we come to church on Sunday, though that is essential. And our times together, understand, are essential as we worship the Lord. But it's a whole lifestyle that's marked by prayer, by our own individual lives and our attitudes in prayer. And David also shows us here the power of those patterns, like tracks for a train. The train won't go much of anywhere. The power is not in the discipline, but yet it's used as we walk with the Lord. Without rails, a train will go nowhere. We know that a bike will go nowhere without the proper wheels and the alignment that's needed. So the disciplines are not the power for prayer, the fuel, but they matter. And David shows us this in the pattern he had, doesn't he? But before the dawn, we'll look at this, and then in the watches of the night. This had become David's habit, you see, as he sought God, pouring out his heart, seeking God earnestly. What David did do in this pattern, he prayed, of course, but in this, did you notice, he found God, number one, to be his constant help. As he rose every day, he knew the Lord loved him. He knew that God would help him. He's crying out to God for help daily, regularly, especially in the mornings, it seems, but I'm sure at other times as well. But David also found the hope in the help that he, as he remembers God's word. That hope that's in who God is. As he prayed in these patterns and cried out for help, then he remembered who God is. He remembered the truth of God's word, and he prayed based on that with hope. Even in his times of sleeplessness, he didn't waste those times. His eyes were awake. He meditated even more in the sleeplessness of the night on the truths of God's word. And it's like in the middle of the night even, as he had cried out to God, as he remembered the word, and he didn't waste that time. He looked to the hope God gave him. It's like he was priming the pump for prayer the next morning and to face what was coming ahead the next day. So it's in prayer, meditating on God's word, seeking God for change, that God brings that change like nothing else. He brings that direction in our lives. And you see, David was awake to the word at night, waking up to pray, praying for God's will passionately then in the morning. And this is this powerful combination together. And maybe for you, it's not, of course, at nighttime. We need to get our sleep, I realize, but there may be times where we use that time, where the Lord wakes us up earlier. Or where we certainly pray and spend time in the Word at night before we go to bed. But maybe it's just the fact that there's a prayer closet time. There's an uninterrupted time. There's a time we need to put to use to get in the Word as we pray. There's a time to prepare for prayer by seeking God in the Word and seeking Him. But then that prepares us to pray for the things in the right way that we're going to have to deal with the next day. There's the patterns of prayer. Borgman said, what a model David is for us. He knows how to storm the throne of grace. So look at what David prays here. He says, hear my voice. And he says that's based on the covenant love of God. Hear my voice. Revive me. Of course, that's based on the truths of God's word. His confidence as he prays is in the Lord's loyal love that he knows as he's found through time and through seeking the word of God and praying on the promises of God, knowing the Lord through all of that, that the Lord loves him, that the Lord never changes. And he can get up every morning and he knows that he seeks a faithful father who loves his children, who loves David, who loves you and I if we're in Jesus Christ. So David, of course, is not appealing to his goodness, but he is saying, God, revive me. Continue to work in my heart through who you are in your word every day. Help me because of who you are, not because of what I've done or what I can bring, but because of who you are, Lord. He says, revive me according to your justice. Because David, again, as we're going to see, is dealing with all these enemies, all these people that are like coming around him. He can hear the footsteps. He can feel it's too much to deal with. But he knows it's not because God's with him. It's never too much for the Lord. So he says, Lord, revive me according to your justice. You're a God who loves me. You're a God who is love. You're a God who in that love is truth and righteousness. And so I look to you in the middle of this thing, and I seek you. Someone said real Christian experience in prayer is not occasional forays into the world of prayer, but a life shaped by longing for the future. As we prayed earlier, your kingdom come. We're praying for God to work. And then we realize, look at this as we'll finish in just a bit, but 150 to 151, we see this principle dealing with the people, the enemies of God, and the presence of God in verses 150 to 151 that we rely on the Lord. So there is a passion in prayer, persevering in prayer, and patterns that develop in prayer. But here we see the power of prayer that's in the Word of God as we pray based on the promises of God, but because that shows us the presence of God. That's how we come to know God in our experience and know that He's with us and He's never going to leave us or forsake us. And while the enemies, He pictures them like they are coming at Him and He can hear their footsteps. The threats. Someone said, we feel the pressure, the closeness in this world, the threat of darkness, the claustrophobia of this evil world, hemming in around him. David feels this. We might feel it today with our work, with our neighbors, with just the culture around us. The enemies coming in. The steps. He can hear their footsteps, but he knows that one who matters more than anything is nearer than that. He who is in you is greater than him who's in the world, Jesus, or John said about Jesus. So we live in a world, don't we, seeking God in this evil world. And as like Derek Kidner said, the threat here by David is not glossed over, but it is put in the bigger perspective of the bigger fact of the one who is near, God. Borgman, this guy said about this, he said, I think I would have prayed, Lord, scoop me up out of there. But what does David pray? He says, Lord, your word is truth. They are close, yes, I hear the footsteps, but you are closer. And what does he say? Not scoop me up out of there, but your word is truth. They're coming at me and they care nothing about your word, but I love your word, David's saying, I believe in this. And your word is truth. And I rely upon you, your truth. I know you. I'm not asking you necessarily to take me out of this, Lord, but be faithful. Remind me that you're with me in this. I rest in your covenant love in the middle of this. And my enemies are close, but Lord, you're with me. You're all I need as I trust you. And folks, this is what prayer does. As we seek God, as we're disciplined because we're impassioned, as we pray through the trials, we grow more and more, don't we, step by step to depend on God and to know that that God who is truth is with us. He's given us His truth. We don't always feel God is near to us, do we? But His truth reminds us that that's the reality. So they were fearful, his enemies. They were overwhelming, but they were deceived. And they who come near, he says, they follow after evil. They are far from your law. But Lord, you are near. The God who loves me, that I love, and all your commands are truth. And I can depend on you. I trust in your word. Your truth is light and hope. And your presence with me is real. I discern your will in this, David seems to say, because I know your word is truth. I know you'll help me discern it. I detect what's going on because I know the enemies of this world are going to be that way. Remember what Jesus said about Christians. If they hate me, you can be assured they're going to hate you. But Lord, I know you are closer. Your word is truth. They hate me because they hate your word. And they hate truth. But I'm going to cling to your word. See, the danger sometimes in the world around us can be not just that we fall into sin. I know that's true. But it can be that in that, and it can be sin too, we fall into fear. We fall into fear. Someone said if David's not careful, their presence would blind him to the far greater presence that is even nearer. Of course, that's the Lord, we know. And he would not allow that. He's looking to the Lord based on the Word of God, seeking God in prayer. And the final thing as we close very briefly in 152 is what he recalls. Do you notice this? He recalls the permanence of God. Concerning your testimonies, as he's praying about this, remembering God's truth, seeking God, sharing with us about the passion and patterns of prayer, he remembers the permanence of God's character, the God who's with him. Concerning your testimonies, 152, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. He's saying, I'm remembering now that there's nothing new under the sun. And the fact that your truth never changes, you never change, Lord. And I've learned lessons about that in the past is what I think he's remembering here. I've known this before, that your word is of old. You're the Ancient of Days. Your truth never changes, God. You never change. And I recall that as I pray. Spurgeon says he knows God is near and God is true, and therefore the people of God are safe. He remembers that whom he stands upon, what he stands upon, is the eternal truths of God and God himself who gave those truths. And he knows, he remembers, I've learned lessons about this, and I know, I've learned long ago about the realities of God's word, and I'm not going to forget it right now. As we pray, we start to see sometimes, don't we, at times, where we've forgotten what God's shown us. We've forgotten what we know about him. And then we seek him, and God shows us. He reminds us, I'm with you in this. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When we pray and we seek God, we begin to continue to grow in that. We continue to grow in that. We continue to see that more and more when we're in the middle of our trials. Let's turn to the Lord now as we ask for his grace to grow in his word and grow in prayer as we pray based on the promises of our faithful God. Let's turn to him now. Gracious Lord, as we look to this new year especially, and we look to what we may have to deal with, Lord, and we don't know, Lord. We know you. We don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. Lord, but we are people saved by your grace, given the precious promises of your word in Jesus Christ, as we saw this morning, that are yes and amen. Help us to stand on those promises. And Lord, most of all, those promises will draw us closer to you, to know who we are in Christ, to know that you're with us through the Holy Spirit, your presence, that you who are in us is greater than he who's in this world. And Lord, we'll continue to walk with you and seek you, Lord, based on your word, and seek you daily. Lord, not to be legalistic about it and how we do it, but Lord, out of a heart of passion and desiring to follow you as you work in us, Lord, may we seek you morning and night. May we seek you throughout the day. Lord, help us to grow in prayer as we walk into this new year and to grow in knowing your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.